Dave Jensen.
I'm going hungry.
Eddie Vedder, it's a campfire. We're just like two buddies getting together to talk about music. Welcome to another episode of Theme Songs. Dave Jensen, how you doing?
I'm so good now, Steele. Honestly, I was having a stressful day. Things weren't going great. And then you played that song, and it just brought my heart to right where it needs to be.
I think we just stopped the episode early. That was an episode of Theme Songs. That was the Hunger Strike special episode. We're done for the night. Well, Dave, this is actually a perfect seg, because not only is that a song that I have listened to probably 10,000 times in my life and never yes. gets old and I never get tired, it no. also is about a really serious topic, hunger.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight, we wanted to start by talking about ways to fight hunger, and that's food, and it's farmers markets. And there's no one better in my life to talk about farming and food than my little sister, Sarah. She's Aww. Making her debut on our podcast. Sarah.
Shucks. Thanks, guys.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
So where are you Thanks. Joining us from? It looks like paradise sure you out your window.
Well, I'm in northwestern Washington.
It's it is kind of
so rainy today, so you probably see the green.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's gorgeous. We're just minutes from Canada, so a quick escape anytime.
Wow.
Wait, and, so you do farming? Is that what's is I don't understand what's going on. Do you do farming?
Yeah. I'm a farmer. I do the farming. I'm a flower farmer, Dave. I'm a food farmer a long time ago, okay. and I'm a flower farmer as of 2 years ago now.
So what does that
Growing
entail?
Stuff for the floral industry.
So Dave,
I do a lot of...
She's in Washington State, so when she says flowers, you know, like you put quotes around it, and then people take the flowers,
like
they dry
wedding.
Them out, they roll them up, and like... They light them on fire and they inhale.
Those
are great
lucrative.
Flowers,
that's very
Sarah.
Lucrative. Yeah.
yeah. Some people think that's what I do.
Import,
I
export.
I think that's the one person.
Just your brother?
Yeah, that's the one.
do you have greenhouses or do you just have a field of beautiful flowers that you run through, or what do?
It's very Sound of Music.
I have one. I've got one greenhouse, and I have about an acre under production that I grow. I don't grow actually a ton of flowers. I grow a lot of foliage and shrubs, trees, vines, anything that's kind of unusual. That's what I specialize in. And my main seasons of growing are fall, winter, and spring. And so when you think about like a typical farmer's market that's in the summer and it's nice and sunny, there's just so many people competing for that market. So I opted to do the more miserable months. And it is fairly lucrative.
You're a contrarian.
I don't grow weed.
So for the people who are thinking about mail order flower delivery, what's your most powerful strain of flower, sir?
Good question.
Thanks.
You'll just have to order and find out.
Okay.
I guess it's buyer beware, huh? Yeah.
Make sure you send somebody else to go pick up the packages from the post office in case they get nabbed. But, you know, it's called a courier service.
But I also don't do mail orders. So.
Okay, that's too bad. So where do you sell your flowers? You go to farmers markets or do you take them to Seattle?
Currently, I sell exclusively wholesale. So I have a wholesaler in Seattle that I sell to. It's open to the public for a few hours on Friday, but largely it's just open to industry professionals. So like event planners and florists and designers and a lot of high-end people. So they pay top dollar for especially unusual things, but like stuff that they just don't grow in a Seattle, you know, neighborhood or postage stamp. So.
Is it true that your wholesaler used to be the drummer for Pearl Jam?
That was him on the Hunger Strike. Yeah, that's why we played the song leading in.
Oh, man.
They've had five drummers, so it's like you maybe should ask your wholesaler because it's possible.
It's not just possible, it's likely, I think. It's the probability cloud there.
So how did you get into into this sort of industry? What led you to that?
Well, I had been growing food, and I was starting to go more the route of like animals, so pigs and chickens and stuff like that for food production. And that was super interesting to me. And I just kept coming back to flowers. I wasn't originally infatuated with them because most of them you can't eat. And I felt like, well,
what a waste.
Yeah, I like things to be multi-purposeful. And so I wanted it to be more efficient, basically. It can be beautiful, but it also has to have 5 other functions. And so floral wasn't really fulfilling that for me until I thought about financially. And then that really made a bigger difference. There's just so much more profit margin. I mean, like any perishable, for instance, is going to have a really low profit margin, but flowers people find more value in financially. They are willing to pay more for flowers than especially than food.
I think we can all agree that flowers are more important than food in the modern society. Yeah.
Talking about hunger. good lead in, Steve.
Thanks. I'm good at this podcasting thing.
Yeah. I kind of just took a bunch of classes and started talking to a bunch of other people that were already doing it. And especially where I live, we have such a good growing climate for year-round floral stuff, which is why I kind of wanted to do in the off-season, typical off-season. And the wholesaler had like a meet the grower. And if you wanted to be a grower, come down and introduce yourself. And I went down super, super nervous and not very confident and took my toddler because I didn't have a sitter and it's an hour drive each way and was just really nervous. And when I got there, I looked around and I thought, I grow that, I grow that, I grow that. I could do this. Okay. And so I applied and they accepted me as a consignment grower. So basically I get to pick what I grow and I'm not dedicated to any specific crops specially for them. I can kind of decide what I want to grow and then they say yay or nay if they're already receiving that from a different grower or something. But it's kind of the best of both worlds. So for now.
And this co-op is run by another of Pearl Jam's former drummers. From what I understand, this is Matt Chamberlain.
Yeah.
Guys, we're just going to we probably need to pay royalties by even mentioning that.
No, Matt's cool with it. Dave and Matt go way back. They have the same barber. Well, sis, this is your first time on Theme Songs. And when we have first time guests, we like to let them suggest the theme. And you came up with the cracking good theme.
I gave you 40.
Yeah, well, we picked one of your themes, okay? You're going to have to come on again to do the rest of them. But tell us the theme that you picked for tonight's episode.
Well, I knew at least one of the hosts, which was you. Love torturing people with endless bouts of hour-long music sessions. And yeah. I remembered as a child being sequestered in your room. Oh, just listen to this one. Oh, just listen to this next one. Oh, just 400 songs later, I'd be like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, but did you listen to that one? Hold on. There's one more. There's a secret track.
So I thought this would be fun to play a show with you about songs we have literally listened to over 100 or 1,000 times. and immediately I thought of a number of songs. So it was kind of hard to narrow it down, actually.
What's the first song that you thought of? Zombie by the Cranberries?
No, that's interesting because I thought it would be when I was coming up with the themes, but then when I actually thought about it, it wasn't. It didn't even make my list, obviously.
That's a good thing, too, because I would not have played it.
I would have. Maybe I capped that at 98. I don't know.
Yeah, that's good.
Because if you go in Cranberries, you got to go to Dreams, not Zombie.
I think Linger. I think Linger is the one you got to go with, yeah. Rest in peace, Dolores O'Riordan. I think she passed last year, huh?
Just recently, I thought.
Yeah. Art takes its toll. All right. So the theme is songs you have personally listened to 1,000 times or more. A great theme. Who wants to start us off?
I'm excited, Castile. I'm just going to say that right now. But I'm going to start us off with a song that first time I heard it, I was at BYU. You may have even been in the car. I don't know. But it was Fruit Bats. It's called When You Love Somebody. And the first time I heard it, I loved it. And now it's still something I regularly listen to. And my wife's even heard it probably 100 times because that's how much I liked it.
It's like you loved it right away. It was the drone that got you, Dave. I have a lot of beautiful memories of that song. Dave, a lot of them do revolve around you. I remember Jordan playing and singing that song a lot. I just looked it up. They're from Chicago, Illinois. They're from my part of the country.
Yeah, they have beautiful hair. I've seen those guys probably 3 or 4 times, and I enjoyed it, but I love that song. That's actually all you needed to listen to, because he just then sings those exact same words like 3 or 4 more times. And I read something where he talked about like he didn't ever finish even like writing the song, but someone convinced him to put on that record. And that's like their most beloved song by far.
Wow. Well, so I associate them in my mind always with the Shins, Dave. And I don't know if that's because of you or because there's any connection with those two bands, but is there
He played in the Shins for a while.
Okay.
He played keys for him.
Keys.
Yeah. He tickled the ivories. You ever heard that one before, Sarah?
I like that song a lot. I wouldn't have picked it as my top 100, but yeah, that's a good one.
That was so polite of an answer. That was nice, sis. You made Dave feel loved.
No, I don't think I've heard it 100 times, but okay. It's a beautiful. It's lovely.
All right, what do you have that's on ultra repeat for you, Sarah?
So my immediate song and the one that couldn't shake it all was Weezer is probably the band that I've listened to the longest.
Uh-huh.
I love how abrasive and off key that they are so often, maybe always. And so all of their songs are striking for me, but one of them specifically is like super lesser known, and it's called Butterfly. One of my faves.
Yesterday I went outside with my mama's mason jar. Caught a lovely butterfly. When I woke up today, looked in on my fairy bed. She had withered all away. No more sighing in her breast. I'm sorry for what I did. I did what my body told me. I didn't mean to do your harm. Every time I pin down what I think I want, it slips away. The cold slips away.
I was just actually the other day in the shower. I've had that song memorized for a number of years. And so in the shower, to Huck, I was just singing it over.
That's another.
Looking at me like, weird, Mom.
That's another song, Sarah, that makes me think of college. Because just like I was saying, Jordan used to play When You Love Somebody All the Time. Jordan also used to play Butterfly a lot, too. So I have really, that's a song I've heard hundreds of times by like a friend performing, too. It was one of those ones that brings me back to the BYU, Dave.
I love that album. I got that album when I was 16 and listened to it in my room, sadly by myself, like 100 times probably.
Yeah, it's so true.
Okay, because you both went that direction, I'm going to call an audible I was originally going to play something totally different, but I'm going to play a song from that same era of my life that I listened to hundreds and hundreds of times. When that Sufjan Stevens' Illinois album came out, I listened to that so much, and the song that I'm going to play is Kazimir Pulaski Day.
Goldenrod and the 4-H stone, the things I brought you when I found out you had cancer off the bone. Your father cried on the telephone, and he drove his car into the Navy Yard just to prove that he was sorry. In the morning, through the window shade, when the light pressed up against your shoulder blade, I could see what you were reading. All the glory that the Lord has made, and the complications you could do without, when I kissed you on the mouth.
The thing that's striking to me about that is that I don't know what it's called exactly, but it's the same thing in the Fruit Bats, where there's a lead vocal and then there's a backing vocal that's not really in harmony, but it's a female that's like maybe a half tone under and slightly off the beat. But it's like it just increases the warmth and the volume of that chorus. And it's just done so well, the two voices kind of twining and echoing each other. I love it.
It's such a sad song. What's funny is the first three songs now, I probably have literally heard 1,000 times. And I love that song. Before we had kids, I used to make my wife play guitars with me once a week. Uh-huh. And we would play like 4 songs, and that was one of them. I played that song like 50 times with Ariane.
This is basically
I don't even know if I've heard that once before. I'm going to have to go and listen to that. I feel like I've listened to everything that he's put out, but apparently not that song.
Oh, wow. That song's super sad. It's about somebody dying of cancer.
It sounded. Oh, man. That was beautiful. I'm glad you told me to that.
Nice. So far, this is music that makes Dave's heart beat. It's really like the soundtrack of Dave's life. What do you got for us next, Dave?
Guys, I'm going to friggin' blow the roof off this place. This song, like as far back as I can remember, like my dad would play this song for me, and it is just hard rock. And in the last year or so, I've played it for my girls a bunch of times. The Beatles have like 6 videos on YouTube that you can watch. And one of them is live performing Revolution. And we'll go around the room and we'll talk about who your favorite Beatle is and stuff while we watch Revolution. And it's such a good hard rock song.
Destruction. Don't you know that you can count me out? You know it's gonna be alright. 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 You say you got a real solution.
Such a fuzzy, dirty guitar sound. It's so great. That's really nice.
I love that sound. And it's by John, which he's the correct answer for who your favorite Beatle is in my house.
So, Dave, our mom had a copy of the White Album. It was like the only good record she had on vinyl. And not the only one, but that's the opening track from side 4 of that 2-disc vinyl thing. And I listen to that a lot in my bedroom as a teenager as well.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of people who have listened to that song 1,000 times in their life.
It's a well-played song, yeah.
Rightly so.
All right, sis, you have a bunch of possible choices here, and I'm kind of excited for all of them.
I think I'm going to go with Martin Sexton, The Way I Am. A couple reasons. The first one was really grating, and Martin's voice is so not grating. It's so soothing and sexy, and in this song, he yodels. Oh. It's one of my favorite things, but the main reason I picked this one is he was the 10th of 12 kids. So I figured, as far as Dave's concerned, if he just has like half a dozen more, at least one of them
be a Martin Sexton,
an amazing musician with a yodeling voice. How cool would that be?
All right, this is Martin Sexton. The way
I'll talk to the wife.
The other night, had a crazy dream about a man in a fishing hat selling magazines. All the way from Kingston, he had worked his way down. And I bought him this drink on the night they kicked him out of town. And he said, you know, I don't like the way I am. You know, I don't like the way I am. Oh no. And I saw an old fisherman out swaying on the dock, swinging a junk or something and a string of fish that he had caught. His wife had left him just a week before. She packed up her bags and she waltzed on out the door. And she said, you know, I don't like the way I am. You know, I don't like the way I am. And then she cried right out loud. She sang, hey, hello, hey.
That's like a
voice, though.
It's like a weapon. It's like a weapon. He like keeps it in his pocket for a minute and a half, and he's like, also, I can do this.
So beautiful. I love that.
It's totally sold the song, because I was listening to the song. It's like, oh, this is fine. Like, Sarah, I mean, I'm not going to listen to that. But then he yodeled, and I'm like, okay.
What?
It's added to the playlist. I'm in.
Yodel, but it's like to the top of the octave, and yeah, until the very end, the very last one he does. It depends on which recording you're listening to, if it's live. But, oh, man, Backlash is amazing.
So, Sarah, that was one of the musicians that you first turned me on to that I'd never heard before. You were at Utah State. You came back from some college thing. And he's like, this guy, Martin Sexton. And you gave me like a mixtape or a CD of it. And it was great. It was that, yeah, that voice, the, like, he's got some pyrotechnics and he can just use it when he wants it.
My old roommate, Dreamy Phil, all the girls fell for Dreamy Phil. He used to sing that song. And I was like, you can yodel? And so I asked him if he wrote it, and he said that it was a Martin Sexton song. So that turned me onto the artist. And he, every song he sings is just, it's kind of like in the way that Tom Waits has a great voice for any song or any lyrics he sings.
Yeah.
It works for him. He's a great artist. Good, yeah, performance, too, if you ever see him.
So the answer to who Sarah might leave her husband for is clearly Martin Sexton.
Is clearly Crocodile Dundee. I don't even think Martin Sexton is in the running, but I'll be pleased to know that there are two now.
We don't talk about Crocodile Dundee enough on this podcast, Dave. We've really made a huge mistake.
Oh, jeez. Well, that has to be one of the themes that Sarah suggested. Just a whole Crocodile Dundee podcast, right?
We did. Well, Sarah, we did one about Australia Oceania, and it was the, I put, we Men Down Under, but we didn't. I almost played the theme song from Crocodile Dundee, but I should have lost opportunity. I'll close us out here, and this is the song I believe I have probably played more than any other song in my life. It's probably my favorite song of all time. I think in some ways it's the greatest song ever recorded. It is Otis Redding, The Dock of the Bay.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay, 'cause I've had nothing to live for. Like nothing's gonna come my way, so I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay.
For some reason, that song always makes me think of Alaska, because I used to hear him say Bristol Bay. I'm going fishing up in Bristol Bay.
Well, I think Martin Sexton might have his yodeling, but Otis Redding's got his whistling, and I don't know which one I'm going to pick between the two of those.
Oh, but Otis just has this voice as smooth as honey.
It's like
I'm sorry, Martin. Yeah, like you just want to rub that all over your body. That's
Kid number 7, Dave, if you listen too much to that.
It's a beautiful song. So, yeah, I'll listen to all those songs again, probably hundreds of times.
It was a great theme. I'm smiling at the end of an episode instead of just totally depressed.
Yeah, still, you pick good songs.
Well, we went from sad. Our first round was sad, and then the second round was happier. So we did all right.
I hope this podcast gets longer, though. I mean, I wonder how much money we raised just in this last 20 minutes.
Well, we have to pay all of it to the 6 Pearl Jam drummers that we owe royalties to that Dave mentioned today. So probably maybe, not much.
Maybe they'll donate. There,
thanks no. a lot, Dave.
They're all great guys, from Jack Irons to Dave Abruzzese. But Dave Crucian, he's always going to be my Pearl Jam drummer. It's always going to be Dave.
Dave, we always end with the question from a reader.
Yes.
And we've got one from one of our longtime listeners, first-time question writers. This is from Beatrice in Humble, Texas.
It's pronounced Humble.
Humble. Humble.
The H is silent.
Thanks. Yeah.
I thought it was Umble.
Umble? Umble, Texas. This is Beatrice. She said, what's your most obsessive compulsive trait? Mine's murder.
Beatrice! Yes. No!
We're all glad she didn't include her last name, or else we would have had to stop the podcast and immediately report her to the authorities. So you did yourself a favor, Beatrice. I think we can take this question, since we don't know the last name of Beatrice, the obsessive compulsive murderer from Umble, Texas.
An obsessive compulsive slug murderer, I would hire him.
All right. That must be insider gardening thing, huh? Most obsessive compulsive trait. I'm probably going to have to go last because you guys are all going to think of me funny and be like, that guy's super weird once I admit mine.
So mine is punctuality. Like I'm super anal about punctuality. It drives me insane when patients are late. Or if we're going to be late, like we have 6 kids and we're on time to everything because I am just insanely anal about being punctual.
Props. And I hope all of your kids are punctual for all the therapies I'll be in later.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that, but I think it's important to be on time.
It's life or death to be on time, Sarah. It's the most important thing.
Keeping your word or not keeping your word. Excessive tidiness. I wouldn't necessarily say that I'm a search clean freak. It doesn't have to be really clean. Just I have to tidy whenever I see not tidiness. And it drives my husband nuts, but he also calls me his British ants because I just go around making piles of things that are out of order.
That's good. Both of you guys have socially healthy obsessive compulsive traits. That's nice. Mine's I have a couple, but the one that I'll share that's probably the most is when I'm eating food or when I'm chewing, I have to have equal numbers of chews on each part of my mouth. I divide my mouth into five parts. So let's say I'm eating a bag of M&Ms. I'll be like, oh, here's two green ones, two yellow ones, and an orange one. Perfect. I'll eat the green one with the back left, another green one with the back right, an orange one with the medium left, and an orange one with the medium right, and a yellow one with the center. So that your mouth has five parts, and you want to equally use all the different parts of your mouth or your teeth in chewing the things. Yeah, everybody knows that.
Go for it.
So I'm often eating snacks or candy or things like that, trying to do it in multiples of five. And if you can match the colors, it's more symmetrical, too.
That sounds like you might need medication, Steele.
What happens after you did that?
So I don't have to do that. It's just really bad stuff happens when I don't. I just have asymmetrical teeth. That's no one... Your day's going to be ruined.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And then that's when your compulsion to murder kicks in.
Yeah, Beatrice, I feel you. Whatever. Don't let them judge you. Only God can judge Beatrice, except for murder. I guess there's state judges for that, too. Federal. Ah, Sarah, the time has flown by. You were a great first-time guest. I think we might have you back on. Dave might just kick me off and have you as his regular host.
Yeah. As far as music taste, Dave and I have really typically, because I've listened to every podcast, not the first kind of like rambling ones. I tried to listen to some. And
once we made them about music.
Theme songs, on par, guys. I'm really impressed, and I'm super flattered to be on one. Thanks.
We're glad to have you. You're welcome back. We'll do one of your next 40 ideas again.
Sounds awesome. I especially like that. Thanks.
All right, sis. I love you. I'll see you in a couple days.
I love you, too. Bye, Dave.
Bye. See ya.
Bye.